through 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Amen. So good to see my Aunt Bertha Seymour here tonight. And so good to see Maddie, her daughter, and then these children here. We appreciate and love them. And good to see. Justin, good to see you, man. Good to see you. We appreciate you, buddy. Amen. I'm just looking around. I see some people that maybe had been missing a little. Brother Roger, I think he might have been out of town some or vacation or something. But I think he, yeah, there he is. There he is. We love Brother Roger. Amen, amen. Sister Chris Carnahan, we love you. Appreciate you. Keep praying. Keep her in your prayers. Amen. If I start naming names, I'm going to forget somebody. So I better just stop right here. Amen. It's good to have Jesus in the house. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not, they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Verse 11, now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. This is lesson 4 of our Next Steps discipleship series. And tonight we're going to talk on the subject, hiding the word in our heart. Everybody say, hiding the word in our heart. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you have your Bible with you tonight, I want you to just kind of hold it close to your heart. Amen. If you have it's on your cell phone, well, I don't know if it's healthy to hold your cell phone next to your heart, but our Bible is the greatest book. It is the greatest book in all the world. It is a book from God, about God, and about the things of God. It was written by men as God spoke to them about how to be men and women of God. It contains the most dramatic and scholarly literature ever known. And within its pages, we can find classical stories about love, adventure, war, mysteries. It also contains the very best in poetry, in history, about human relationships and philosophy. But above all, this Word of God gives us God's plan for salvation in our lives. Amen. Christians are a people of this wonderful book. And to really know and to love our Lord, we've got to know and love this book that reveals Him. We do not really love God more than we obey Him, okay? Because 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, verse 3 and 5 through 5 tells us, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that are in him." And so we know that we know him if we obey him, if we love him, if we love his word. And so the Bible is no ordinary book. It's no ordinary book. It's not just a novel that someone wrote. It was not just somebody's idea that they came up with. The Bible was written over a 1,600-year time span. It covered 60 generations, and by it was written by more than 40 different writers who all came from various different walks of life. And the writers of the Bible include kings, peasants, herdsmen, soldiers, fishermen, poets, statesmen, scholars, professionals, priests, prophets, and others. It was written on three different continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. The Bible was written in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. Yet it contains one unfolding story throughout, and that is the drama, the great story of redemption. Praise the Lord. The Bible includes hundreds of controversial subjects. There are hundreds of controversial subjects included in the Bible. Those subjects would create a lot of different opinions when they're mentioned and discussed by men all over the world, but the human authors of the Bible speak with phenomenal harmony and agreement, regardless of the time, the cultural, the geographical or language differences. They're all phenomenally in harmony. This is nothing short of a miracle. When we consider that there'd be a disagreement, if just in here tonight you could take 10 different people and discuss some subject that was controversial and come up with 10 different answers and 10 different ideas. But it's truly amazing. The Bible has continuity. It never contradicts itself, and it's complete, and it's the plan of God to deliver it to us. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 tells us, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophets came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Through the centuries that have passed, through persecution, through criticism, the Bible has not merely just survived, but it has become one of the best-loved books in history. It has increased, ever increased in its circulation until now. It is one, if not the all-time best-seller book that there has ever been. How interesting, considering that the French infidel Voltaire, he said in 1800, he said the Bible will be extinct in 50 years. Little did he know. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I tell you tonight, we can count on the Word of God. We can stand upon its promises. We can believe its truth. We can apply it in our lives. We can base our lives upon it and live according to its teaching. We can count on the Word of God. No other book in the world, no other religious book even in the world, can claim the Bible's accuracy in prophecy, in foretelling the future. It is the only volume ever produced by man, according to the direction of God, that predicted without fail the futures of nations, the future of Israel, of various cities, of people all over the world, and of the coming of the one who was to be the Messiah. There's no other book that has been this accurate in foretelling the future. There are 300 prophecies in the Old Testament alone, given from 1600 to 400 years in advance concerning the Messiah that it depicts exactly the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that many years in advance, telling it exactly how it was going to be, that didn't happen by accident. That did not happen by accident. But it was because God, who knows the end from the beginning, He used men to write history in advance and give it to us through His Word. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 through 10 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Recently, it's been brought to my attention by a couple different people about politics and, well, you have every year you have different elections and different election cycles, and I'm not going to get into all of that too much here tonight. But you know, we have the feeling that you know we're casting our vote, but there's a group of people, and I believe all the parties are probably involved, that they think that they've got it figured out. Regardless of who the candidates are, they think, well, we're going to control who wins this election. And I just got news for us. I want to tell you who's really in control. God is in control. God is in control. And even years ago, thousands of years ago, even at the creation, God could have looked ahead through time and could have said, this is who's going to win in 2016, and this is who's going to win in 2018 and 2020. God's the one that knows the end from the beginning. Amen. I just love it sometimes when God says, oh, let me show you, man. You really don't know what's up. But I'm going to show you that I'm the one in control and I've got it all figured out. Hey, we can't trust this world. We can't trust the wisdom of man. But if we can trust the Word of God and we can stand upon its promises, I want to tell you that faith will stand. That faith will stand. The Word of God will stand the test of time. All we need to know in order to enjoy this life and to enjoy the next is found between the covers of our Bible. Consider with me all the benefits that are available to us through giving our attention to the Word of God. Of course, salvation. Salvation. James chapter 1 verse 18 tells us, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now, that verse there in the King James English, you've got to read that several times. Another translation says it like this: He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word, and we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. Human beings and all creatures of the earth, they reproduce and they pass on their replicating material inside their genes. It's passed on to their children. So children look like their parents. Sometimes they look more like the mom than the dad. Thank God for that, because my children, I think, made it okay. You can laugh. It was a joke. But you can see qualities in all of our children. There's things. They've got their daddy's ears, or they got their mama's nose, or whatever it is. And it's those genes. There's that replicating material that God ordained, and we're just now finding out about this DNA and the genes and all of this that God has put into place. And the book of Genesis says that each produces after its kind. Well, I want to tell you tonight, the Word of God is God's replicating material. We are like Him. We are His offspring. And the Bible says that we are His children and that He begets us by the Word. Amen. That's not to say that it doesn't require Jesus' name, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. Of course, we need the water and the Spirit to be born again. But I want to tell you, we become His children when we apply the Word of God in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Aren't you thankful that this Word of God endureth forever? There's a lot of things that come and go in life, but thank God we base our eternal salvation on something that endureth forever. Oh, it wouldn't be fair if this was the plan one day, and then God just said, well, I just want to do it this way, and He could do that if He wanted to, but He said, I'm going to give you my word, and it's going to endure forever. It's not going to pass away, but it's forever settled in heaven. Amen. What a blessing to know the word of God. What a blessing to stand on something that's sure, that's solid, that will stand the test of time. Praise the Lord. What a benefit and salvation that we find in the Word of God. The second benefit of the Bible is faith. Faith. Paul told the Colossians in Colossians 2 and 6, he said, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." And we received salvation by faith. And it's so important that we continue our walk with God by faith. Amen. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us, "But without faith it's impossible to please him." We've got to have faith. Our walk with God, it's completely dependent on our absolute trust and reliability in God's power, in God's wisdom, in God's goodness. Amen. As Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 tells us, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We've got to walk by faith. Amen. I'm thankful for saving faith, but let's keep our faith alive. And when we see that faith is important, then where do we get faith from? How can we increase our faith? How can we develop our faith? How can we keep our faith strong? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith is such a tremendous benefit that we receive from the Word of God. If we're going through a period of time when our faith is struggling and our faith perhaps is faltering, I tell you, get in the Word of God. Start reading these precious scriptures that were written by anointed men of God as God spoke through them unto us. Start reading those scriptures. Start memorizing those scriptures, and you'll watch your faith begin to increase. Next, there is power in the Word of God. What a benefit. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. We can just stop tonight and think a little bit about the absolute sheer size of the universe. We can't comprehend it. Our finite minds they just can't wrap around that. How great God is. And to think that it all came into instant being from a divine command. God spoke the word. God spoke the word. In physics, in high school, and perhaps in college, I remember them talking about how the universe is ever expanding. And I don't remember all of that because most of that I was sitting there thinking, I will never use this again in my life. But I remember there was something about if they would study and do certain filters on telescopes and something would look blue and something would look red. Does anybody remember that? And one was contracting and one was expanding. And I just believe, I don't know about you, and I'm going to ask the Lord about this, of course, one day. But I just believe that when God spoke the word, all of a sudden out of nothing, it just expanded. And it's been expanding ever since. But God holds it all in his hand. God holds it all in his hand. I want to tell you, there's power in the Word of God. When he spoke the word, it came into existence. Hey, man, I just pray that he would speak a word to us here tonight because we need that kind of power to work in us. We need that kind of power to move in us and move in our families and work in our situation. Oh, I'm thankful for the power that's in the Word of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 speaks of the power in God's word. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is power in the word of God. What a benefit. What a benefit. Another benefit of the Bible, nourishment. Nourishment. The Bible is our soul's food. We can't live by natural bread alone. I remember this has been quite a few years ago. I was in a class when I was a financial advisor, and it was a large class, and we were learning something about investments or life insurance or something. And it was time to take a lunch break, but we had so much material to cover. And from the back of the room, in this large room, was this very jolly lady, and she just had the best jokes. And But all of a sudden, she wanted to continue on the class, and she just said, man can't live by bread alone. Well, half of the people in the room probably didn't go to church. They did other things with their time, and it created quite a discussion. What in the world is she talking about? But I want to tell you something. We don't live by bread alone. Amen? Now, most of us have plenty of bread to eat, and cheese and ham and whatever you put on your bread. But I want to tell you, if we're missing the Word of God, then we're starving. We're starving ourselves. We're starving our families. We're starving our spirits. We've got to have the Word of God. The Bible describes itself as milk and meat. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, he said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. It's also described as honey. Psalm 19, verse 9 and 10 says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I remember the story of a pastor's wife that I believe they lived in Oklahoma, and she went through this time period, and I may have told this story here before, but she went through this time period when she was reading the Word of God, and she just, it was like she got addicted to the Word of God. And in every waking moment, she would be reading the Word of God, and it'd be time to go to bed, and she'd get a flashlight. This was a few years ago before we had the Bible apps on our cell phones. She'd get a flashlight, she'd be there under the covers reading the Word of God. And she told the story of how one night she was reading that Word of God and just hungering after the Word of God, and it was as if something snapped in her mouth and she tasted the taste of honey. Praise the Lord. Come on, we need the Word of God. This is our meat. This is our milk. It's like honey, sweeter also than honey. Job said in Job 23, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. If we are not careful to eat properly and to eat regularly in the natural realm, we become weak and we become vulnerable to sickness. And in the same way, in the spiritual realm, if we do not have a consistent intake of God's Word, we will be spiritually malnourished. We have got to have a steady diet of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Love the Word of God because there are great benefits in it. The fifth benefit from the Word of God is fruitfulness. In the first psalm, we read, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. What a benefit, fruitfulness from the Word of God. Number six, modern psychology tells us that almost every human being has a desire, has some type of innate desire to succeed, to be successful. The Bible has a plan for success. It has a plan for prosperity, a plan, a promise that we can be successful in whatever area of life that we're in. If we'll give ourselves to the constant application of the Scriptures in our life, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 tells us, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Praise the Lord. Learn to love this Word. There's a benefit of success to those that love this Word. Don't ever discount this next benefit. This is the benefit of guidance in our lives. It's very difficult for a person to find their way along a road in the darkness of night. If you have problems with your headlights, you have to do something to make sure that you can see the road. Have you ever been driving along and maybe reached over to turn the windshield wipers on or something and accidentally turned off your headlights at night, and oh, you get those on real fast. And so it is difficult to find our way along life's pathway without the guiding influence of His Word. Psalm 119 and 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thank God for the guidance, the benefit that comes from His Word. The truth of God's Word is the only thing that gives real and lasting freedom. That liberty is a marvelous benefit from the Bible. And if we'll take time to learn to get to know this truth, it will set us free. John 8:31 and 32 reads, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What a benefit, freedom, liberty, amen, victory. Praise the Lord. The ninth benefit of the Word of God is life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise the Lord. The words that He speaks, they impart life to us. John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." There's life in the Word of God. The tenth benefit, Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Is there a better way to get our mind stayed on the Lord than to go to His Word? If you want to keep your mind stayed on Jesus Christ, just read His Word. Just read His Word. Psalm 119 and 165, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I want to tell you, there's a lot of offended people in our world today. No doubt for many of them, it's because they don't have a love for the Word of God. Praise the Lord. The Bible also tells us that if we do not receive a love for this truth, that God shall send strong delusion. I think there's a connection there. That's not even in my notes tonight, but I think there's a connection there, because you look at many who have left this truth, who have left the love of this truth, and somewhere along the way they get offended. I believe it's because they didn't love this word. They didn't read this word. They didn't apply this word in their life. There was something that was more important than reading the word and studying the word. And somewhere along the way, they found themselves out of love with the Word of God. And they did not receive that love for the truth. The last benefit of the Word of God that I want to go over tonight, of course, there's many more. But Ephesians 6:17 tells us, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God. We have protection in the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit in the armor of God. The Word of God helps us to fight against the enemies in the kingdom of darkness. How did Jesus fight against Satan? It was not in a physical warfare. It was not with physical weapons. But He fought temptation with the Word of God. How do we need to fight temptation? Amen. You can do all the kind of 12-step programs you want, but I want you to get a hold of the Word of God, and you fight temptation with the Word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest in any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.'" Verse 8, "Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the sword of the Spirit. Thank God for these benefits. The title of this lesson tonight is Hiding the Word of God in Our Hearts. Why is this important? Number one, it's important because the Word of God is effective in controlling our thoughts. It's important to be in control of our thoughts and not let our thoughts control us. Amen. The first part of Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The thoughts inside a person eventually result in external behavior. We hear about the power of positive thinking, but there are several admonitions in the Word of God about controlling our thoughts. Perhaps one of the most prominent is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." In other words, we are to control our thoughts using thought control. What does that mean? Do we go around thinking about, well, let's think about the birds and the butterflies and the, you know, everything positive and wonderful, and those are part of God's creation. But I think there's something even more practical than that, something much more powerful than nature to meditate on, and that's the Word of God. It was the Word of God that created all of that. We already read it here today in the first psalm that blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I believe in meditation. I don't know about you, but I believe in meditation. But I'm not meditating on nature. I'm not trying to become one with the tree or something like that. I want to become one with the Word. I want to become one with the Scripture that God has given us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us there's things we're to not think about. Why is that? Because our thoughts will get us in trouble. Instead, we should try to think God's thoughts. We should meditate on the Word of God. The last part of Matthew 12, 34 tells us, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." The principle is this: what goes on in our minds is eventually expressed in our actions. This inward to outward principle is exhibited in God's own behavior. The Bible tells us that God thinks, okay? Isaiah 55 and 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." So God thinks. His acts are a direct result of his thoughts. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." All right, just a little Bible lesson here. That Greek word that's used here for word is logos. This embodies our thoughts or the concept. And so in the beginning was the thought or the concept. The thought or concept was with God. He foresaw what he would someday be and what he would be. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The first fruits of them that slept. The firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of many brethren. And he conceived the eventual glory that would come to Jesus Christ. And creation is an example of the thoughts of God. God thought first, then he created man in his own image, the image of his thought or his concept. God's thoughts preceded his acts. He thinks and he creates. The outward action, in this case it was creation, the outward action proceeds directly from the thoughts. And so when we think things and we let our thoughts run away from us, we've got to be careful where they're running to. Because eventually that will come out in our actions and it will affect our life. We've got to find a way to elevate our thoughts. If we're going around thinking the thoughts of the world, if we're going around thinking thoughts of lust and of sinful pleasure and all of the things of this life, that's going to come out in our actions. We've got to find a way to elevate our thoughts. Let's go back to Isaiah 55, verses 7 and 9 tells us, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's thoughts are far above the things of this world. If we can find out what God's thoughts are, and if we can get God's thoughts in our mind and in our hearts, then it will transform us. It will elevate our behavior. What great things the thoughts of God will do in our hearts. Where do we find God's thoughts? In His Word. In His Word. If you want to know how God thinks, we've got to develop an intimate relationship with His Word. That's the number one reason why we need to hide His Word in our heart. Secondly, the Word of God will give us the power to overcome sin. King David, that shepherd boy that became a king, described as a man after God's own heart, he lets us know the reason he felt God's word was so important in his life in Psalm chapter 119, verse 11. He said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Sin is our greatest enemy. It is the reason for all of our spiritual problems. Sin begins in the thought world. What goes on in our minds, it eventually results in outward actions. There's that bridge from the mind to the body and what we act upon. This is not just a theory, but it's a principle. James chapter 1, verse 14 tells us, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." It starts in the mind, but it ends up in real actions. I want to tell you, God's word has power to do great things in our heart, especially when we get it hidden down in our heart. There it can operate. There it can do wonderful things. And the enemy knows this. And so that's why he gives all of us so many excuses to not get God's word hidden in our hearts. We've got to be very mindful of the excuses that come up and the busyness and all the things in our daily schedule that keep us from spending time in the word of God, because this is going to help us control our thoughts instead of our thoughts controlling us. And this is going to help us control our life so that we live in victory over sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of information in this lesson tonight, but we want to cover how can we hide the Word of God in our heart. It's so important, so we need to know how do we do this, okay? David's son, the wise King Solomon, writes in Proverbs, the second chapter, to hide the Word of God with us. He goes on to tell us if we hide God's commandments in our heart, we are kept from evil men, evil women, and mortal sin. All right? The seventh chapter of Proverbs, it says, "Lay up my commandments with thee." So just as a farmer would go out and harvest the grain and bring the grain into his barn from the fields, in the same way we can be gatherers or hoarders of God's word and stored up in our hearts and stored up in our minds. Hiding the word of God in our heart, it's not only beneficial, but it's absolutely necessary for every child of God. So there's several methods. How do we do this? We can be a hearer of the Word. We can read the Word of God. We can also study it. We can memorize it. We can meditate on it. Be a hearer of the Word. We hear the Word of God by paying close attention to the preaching and the teaching in our services. Thank God for pastors and for evangelists and for teachers. Amen. At Harvest, we do believe that we need to be faithful in church attendance on Sundays and on Wednesdays, so we can gather together for worship together and strength so that we can hear the Word of God go forth. Under the direction of the Holy Ghost, He's going to speak to our life. He's going to give us insight. He's going to give us help. Amen. So we're thankful. We're thankful for the different ministers and teachers that God has provided us. Of course, we need to hear the Word, and we need to mix it with faith. Romans 10, 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So be a hearer of the Word. Reading the Bible. If you read through the Bible, and I do recommend trying to read through it every year, if you can read from front to back. We do have plans that will help you, and most Bible apps have a way to do that. But when we read the Bible, it gives us a great overall picture of God's Word, and it gives us great mental strength and spiritual enjoyment. It's something we can do to review maybe what we heard. Maybe we heard something preached and we thought, "I've never read that passage before. go home and read it and study it out and launch into further study or meditation on that. The average person in the Old Testament times never had the opportunity to read the Word of God because those scrolls were so very, very expensive, perhaps about one year's wages, some say. Even today, there's many people, it's estimated that half the world today has not read the Bible. Isn't that something? What a privilege we have. We need to take advantage of this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I believe the time is at hand. We need to be reading the Word of God. And then studying. Studying the Bible, it leads us into personal discoveries of the truths that are there. There's all kinds of different ways to study. And depending on your personality and your mindset, you might like one of these more than the other. But you can study certain subjects. You can study biographies. You can study through different chapters or books. You may also want to take advantage of a good Bible dictionary and maybe a concordance. Accurate translations can sometimes help us. If you have a great study Bible, there'll be column references that connect with other books and other chapters and all that, and different study aids. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 tells us, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They studied the word. They searched the word. Amen. Sometimes people, they'll take a certain word. You want to take a certain word in the Bible, and they'll see how it's used throughout the Bible, and they'll study that. Sometimes they'll do character studies to follow the lives of people throughout the Bible and through different verses and different books. Cross references can be very enlightening, giving us a well-rounded knowledge of certain subjects all throughout the Bible. So study the Word of God. Memorizing the Word of God. Amen. What a great result we heard on Sunday of our Bible quiz teams, and we're so thankful for all of these children and young people that are hiding the Word of God in their hearts. Amen. When we commit the Word of God to memory, it enables us to use the sword of the Spirit to overcome Satan and to overcome temptation. If we don't know the Word, then we can't quote the Word. If we don't know the Word, then we can't apply it in our daily lives. We have to go and read it. But sometimes you just need to know the right scripture for the right situation and immediately begin to quote back in the face of the enemy. No, I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. Praise the Lord. Memorize the Word of God. Meditation. This method can be used along with these others, but if we will take time to meditate on what God's speaking to us about what we're hearing or what we're reading or what we're studying or memorizing, then I believe that God will help us as we think upon His Word. He'll help us to apply it in our daily lives. Amen. So five ways that we can hide the Word of God in our heart: hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, and meditating. And if we don't use all of those, sometimes it's like a puzzle with a missing piece. So try to use all of those in your Bible reading and study. Now, this may seem like a lot of work, but it's worth it. And once you start, you're going to grow to love the Word. To begin, set aside a specific time that I'm going to study the Word of God at that time, whether it's in the morning or afternoon or evening, whatever's good for your schedule. And set some reasonable goals. Don't say, well, I'm going to read the whole Bible through in 1 week, okay? I tell you what, it's probably possible, but you won't be doing much else. Set some reasonable goals. Choose a portion of Scripture that maybe it spoke to you when you heard it preached or one that you've always enjoyed reading. Start there. If you've never read the Bible, don't start with the book of Revelation, okay? Don't probably start with Leviticus or Numbers, okay? I would just recommend, start with the book of John. Start with the book of John, and then from the book of John, just go to the next book, the book of Acts, and then t- take it from there. But if you've never read the Bible before, I'd recommend doing that. And then as you're reading and studying, read those verses through several times. Sometimes you'll read a verse and it's like, what does that mean? I don't even understand it. Read it through again. Read it through a third time and a fourth time and study those verses carefully. Go over them backwards and forwards and memorize a few favorite verses from that passage and meditate on those scriptures maybe for a few days or even weeks. Think about how you can put that truth that you see there in those scriptures to work in your own personal life. Amen. Another thing that we can do is to share the scriptures with our family or our friends. Amen. Use them in times of family devotion. Teach them to your kids. Help your kids memorize the scripture and memorize them along with your children. If we will make the word part of our day, part of our family, a part of our life, we will reap the tremendous benefits and the blessings and the power that comes from God's word. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? I believe that the direct result of applying the Word of God in our lives is enrichment, encouragement, it's excitement, stability, fruitfulness, growth, prosperity, and their success, both in this life and in the eternal life to come. In our text tonight, I want to just bring us back home. We read the parable of the sower. Jesus said, as he sowed the seed, there were some that fell by the wayside. It was trodden down. Birds came along and ate it. Some fell on a rock, and it sprung up, but didn't have any roots, and so it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some of the seed fell into the thorns. It sprang up, but then the thorns choked it out. And there were some seed, though, that fell on good ground. He gives the meaning to this parable. He says the seed is the Word of God. And we see that the ground is us. Depending on how we receive the Word, depends on which type of ground we are. The wayside, it's those who hear the word, but the devil comes in and steals it quickly out of their heart so they can't believe and they can't be saved. The rocky ground, it's those who hear the word and they receive it with joy. They're so excited about it, but they don't have any roots. So they believe for a little while, but then they fall to temptation. The thorny ground is those that they hear the word and they start growing, but then they're choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and they cannot produce fruit. But the good ground. Luke chapter 8, verse 15, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bringeth forth fruit with patience. If you've been around the church just for a little while, you've seen people that represent all these types of ground. I don't know about you today, but God, whatever you have to do to me, I want to be the good ground. I want to produce fruit. I want you to use my life, Lord, as you would use it, and let your word, let it find a place in my heart and grow so that I can be fruitful. Our fruitfulness is directly related to our relationship with God's word. If you're struggling, if it seems like the cares of this life are choking you out, if it seems like you don't have any roots, if it seems like there's no moisture and there's no depth, I want to tell you, get in the Word of God. Start reading it. Start memorizing. Start studying scriptures and passages. Start doing everything you can to have a steady diet, a healthy intake of the Word of God. And watch God turn your life around. And watch all of a sudden there'll be some depth there and there'll be some growth. And you'll start looking around and realizing, hey, there's some differences about my life. What's the difference? Oh, I'm reading the Word. I'm studying the Word. I'm applying it. I'm meditating on it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Link up with somebody next to you, and I want you to just thank God with them right now for the power of His Word. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. Thank you, Lord, for the benefits of your Word. Thank you, Lord, for the power that's in your Word. I thank you for the protection that we have in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the sword of the Spirit. Praise the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you'd help us. Work on us, Lord. Work on us, Lord, so we can be that good ground, so that we can receive the seed of the Word of God in our life, and it can find root, Lord, and it can spring up and bring fruitfulness in our life. I pray, God, that you'd help us to love the Word of God. Help us to receive the love of this truth, the love of this precious gospel. We thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for what you're going to do in us and how you're going to work through us, Lord, if we can receive the Word of God. In Jesus' name, Lord, let this be a church that loves the Word. Lord, let us be a people that love the Word of God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you would deal with us, Lord. Deal with each and every one of us, God, about our daily time of devotion, reading the Word of God. I pray that you would deal with these new converts tonight that are coming into the church. Help them from the very beginning, Lord. Let them develop a love for this Word of God. Let them read it. Let them study it. Let them memorize it and hide it in their heart. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Lord. We stand upon its promises. We worship you for it, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've not ever done this, I do want to challenge you. If you've not ever read the New Testament through in 1 week's time, okay, now, we want to be reasonable in our goals here, okay? So if you've got a 60 to 80-hour work week, well, you got to sleep sometime, okay? But if you've never done that and you have a few moments, maybe you're on vacation and you're looking for something to do, I don't know, I would recommend take the New Testament and try to read it in 1 week. It's amazing. It's amazing how it will come alive. And just it's a challenge here. If anybody's able to do it, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. Or Brother Roger, I think I owe you, or maybe, no, I think I, Sister Pruitt, I had a contest a few weeks or months ago, and I think she came up with the answer, whatever it was. Brother and Sister Pruitt, we got to have some coffee. That's been like 6 months ago or something. I don't know. So anyway, God bless you. I'm thankful for the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Greet one another.